Welcome to the 103rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Whoa.
What?
You said 103rd?
Oh, I should have said 143rd.
We're going back in time.
It's 143rd.
There we go.
That's Mark Davis that you just heard. Hi. For the 143rd.
You know me.
Mm-hmm.
You beautiful listeners. Gorgeous folk.
And today we are joined by quiz writer and childbearer, Kyle Ann. My wife, Kyle Ann. Welcome, Kyle Ann. Oh, whoa. Okay. You made a big mistake there.
If there's anybody you don't want to boo, it's your wife.
I'm offended.
Yeah. I don't know if there were boos. There's kind of disappointed moans in that.
Fair enough.
It says wrong.
There's probably somewhere in there.
I don't know if they're outright booing, though. Welcome back to the show, darling.
Hello.
Hi, darling. How's it going?
It's going.
Just three darlings here.
Just three.
Sitting around ready to quiz.
Little darlings.
Here with my two darling loves, Kyle and Mark.
And my two darling loves, Kyle Ann and Lee. And our thruple that we're now announcing.
Oh, yes.
It starts now.
Oh.
It's
news to Kyle.
Oh.
There we go. Now is the time. I think that's what you want to do on the soundboard.
Kyle has been working vigorously all morning to write some questions for today's episode.
Yeah, not just an all-time susser this time, like the last couple times you were on. Actually, going to be asking some questions.
I got some cues.
Cannot wait.
As do I.
Nice.
Well, I do too.
Oh, perfect.
Oh my gosh, really?
Guys, I brought some questions.
Yay.
Episode 143. Why not get our act together finally right now?
Indeed.
Before we get to our questions, though, why don't we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Sounds good.
Okay. On Monday, we were back on Twitch for our Monday Mega Quiz, number 122. 18 players overall. H-Bomb and Friends rallied for comeback victory to log the number one high score with 240,535 points. Patty, a.k.a. Warring Hearts, and Apple 30309 came in second and third place with 235,000 points, respectively, and 211,000 Patty, a.k.a. Warring Hearts, and Apple 30309 came in second and third place with 240,535 points to Patty and 211,666 points to Apple, respectively. On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, the Shiba Inu Illuminati came out on top, 112 points to them. The other five came in second with 98 points, and Kraut and a Mermaid came in third with 72 points. Our online competition went to Sweet Blasphemy, who earned 98 points. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
It went well. Get out the brooms, because we had a sweep. The team Teabaggers, who showed up last week. It's, I think, a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
You've been going for the keys lately, but not following through.
Yeah, well, if you're talking, I don't want to play it over your talking.
Oh, you can. You know? It's fine. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. This is for the Teabaggers, just for their name.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know if that was like a testicles in the mouth thing, or if they mean like
maybe the, on the cheek or forehead. There are different teabags.
Indeed. You know? And then there's also like the tea.
Maybe they like tea.
Oh.
Like,
I never even considered that. I never considered they would actually just like tea.
Yeah, Teabaggers is so far removed. Well, I was thinking the Tea Party. Didn't they call themselves Tea Baggers?
Oh, yikes.
Or were they jokingly referred to as Tea Baggers?
I think they picked that name without fully researching it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they came last week and ended up coming again and sticking around and actually won with 8 points in the first round, 23 points in the second round, and winning with 36 points in the final round.
Wow.
Wowie zowie, huh?
Good job, Tea Baggers.
And of course, on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey Tango, 61 points.
Of course.
Winning. Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt with 37 points.
Very nice. All in all, a very exciting week. If you want to join us.
Very exciting week.
Wheat. It's wheat.
Wheat.
It's a wheat. You know what I'm saying.
It's the beginning of the week.
Your brain filled in the gap. Brains are smart like that. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Monday, March 29th, we return to Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern with a Monday mega quiz based on your requests, with topics including famous comebacks, mononyms, animals that camouflage, NASCAR fights, album covers, and more. That's Monday, March 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch.
When you say famous comebacks, I immediately thought of like your mama jokes or whatever.
Right. Like, you know what comebacks I mean? To disses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, never forget that one time where
Right.
You know.
Super Hot Fire, if you're familiar with that meme, that is full of famous comebacks. The rap battle meme.
Right.
We'll post a link in the show notes if you're not familiar.
Indeed. It's like Ether was a famous comeback.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This Wednesday, March 31st.
Oh,
Jesus
wow.
Christ, I can't talk today. Okay. I'm the perfect host for a podcast. This Wednesday, March 31st, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 312th pub quiz. We'll be at, it's actually 313th. I didn't update that. This 313. Full of mistakes here. We'll be asking questions. Yeah, basically.
I'm the new host.
Mark, do you want to read this?
You're fired.
Here, you read this.
Okay, I'll read it. Yeah. Where'd you leave
Wednesday.
Off? This Wednesday, March 31st, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 313th pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our players' category requests about food, football, Nintendo, books, computers, 60s music, and more. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Pointy Bell on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time or play along on our Twitch channel. If you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m.
Aye.
And please, don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
That was a nice, wow. I think that was a minor second harmony
I was trying to, that's why I did that drop. I tried to do the major to minor.
You did an amazing job with that.
I think
people would rather hear that than me, for sure.
I am very good.
All right, let's take a little break, and then we will kick off round one with some trivia.
Yes.
Do you have trivia questions?
I do. According to Wikipedia, the Star Wars wiki, what name was given to the, quote, upbeat, swinging genre of music most notably performed in the cantina scene?
Oh, my gosh. I read this recently, and I forgot. Do you know what it is?
I do. It's a very funny name.
Yeah.
It's called Jizz Music.
Yes!
That's correct. Jizz. J-I-Z-Z. Jizz, as like jazz, but
jizz,
just taking out the A and putting an I in.
That has to be the etymology of that, right?
I'm
like, you
guessing.
Go from jazz. Hey, what if we just
but you could have gone to jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You could have gone to jaws,
right?
You could have gone to what other vowels are
jizz?
Jizz. You had to choose an I. You had to make it jizz.
You see, it's my little dirty joke I put in the Star Wars universe, says George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
It has to be intentional, right? There's no way he doesn't know what jizz
means. I can't
means.
Imagine.
I've never heard that word before. That's
I
funny.
I mean, the early 1970s or late 1970s. Mm-hmm. I mean,
lots of theaters, lots of adult theaters around.
Oh,
you have to imagine that him being in the cinema business knows somebody that might be tasked with cleaning up jizz at a theater, you know, some kind of custodian at an adult movie theater.
Yeah,
you have to imagine. You have to imagine that. You have to.
There is a 2003 thriller romance called Jizm.
Hmm.
Did you know this?
What is it about?
Never has a romance seen. No erotic. I can't read.
Who
this.
Fucked me? That's the mystery.
Jizm, the dark side of desire.
Oh. Yikes.
Women been so beautiful, so exotic, so dangerous to know. I think this might be from another country. It was given 5.2 out of 10 stars on IMDb.
Oh, that's not
it's
good.
Called fucking,
that means zero,
it's
basically.
It's called fucking Jizm, a slang word for semen is an Arabic movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also a slang word for music in the Star Wars universe.
A Bollywood erotic thriller film.
Oh, right. Sounds like softcore.
Is jism supposed to mean that in the movie?
I think so. I think it's just basically called cum.
Cum, the movie.
Yeah.
Keeping cum as a pet. All right.
It's like the next Matt Stone, Trey Parker musical.
I'm trying to find something about this jism thing, but
keep Googling. You'll find something.
Yeah. All right. Good question.
Less famous roles.
Okay.
Jessica Walter, known for portraying Lucille Bluth on Arrested Development, portrayed what character on an early 90s sitcom that was executive produced by Brian Henson?
Oh, it's Mrs. Sinclair, Mama Sinclair in Dinosaurs.
I guess we'll go with that.
I'm going to need a first name.
Oh,
here.
God damn it. I'm fucking right. It's
yes. And Mrs. Sinclair, which he's not called on the show, uses her name all the time.
Mrs. Sinclair. That's who it is.
I'm going to give you half credit for that if that's what you're going with. Or you can suss it.
Is it Trudy?
No, it's something like. I mean, have you seen Dinosaurs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, forever ago.
So Dinosaur.
What's his name?
Earl.
Yeah. Earl and Earl's wife.
It's like a Diane or like a.
Diane could be it.
It's like a common name.
It's not. His name is Earl.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Earl.
Earl sounds right. I think you're right with Earl. And then they have one of the kids named DJ.
I think. And then there's the daughter and then Baby Sinclair. Whose name is Baby. There was a whole episode where Baby. They're like, it's time for you to get your name. And his name was Baby.
I'm baby.
It's like a, or like, it's maybe it's like a one syllable, like
I keep thinking
like a Jane or something. Jane Sinclair.
I mean, trying to think of Sinclair with it is probably not the right move. I'm trying to picture him being like talking to her and just saying like, Jackie, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, like I keep thinking of like Lois. Cause I keep thinking of Family Guy.
Mm-hmm. Same voice, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're both doing send-ups of...
I know that was a terrible fucking...
Those were the days!
Well, that's what I was trying to think. Like, Archie Bunker, Archie and Edith. Mm-hmm. You know, like, very famously, like, someone saying the woman's name, but Dinosaurs does not have a very forefront place in my brain.
Yeah.
I'll admit, this one's a little difficult. I was originally going to ask you to name the show, but...
That's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Especially Diane? Now with Jessica Walter having right,
like
recently
a, it's
passed.
Like a Diane or like a...
Let's say Diane.
Jane.
Let's say Jane or Diane.
It's not Jane, and it's not Diane either. But...
I mean, we can go through...
Just fuck it. Well, just because we're wrong, but even though we're fucking right, because we know, like, we have the character right.
Well, you're half right.
We're right. Okay.
They're all named Sinclair. You can't just say, like, you know, besides Baby Sinclair.
But there's only one Mrs. Sinclair. The other ones are Ms. Sinclair or Miss Sinclair.
You know, as a quiz master, when you're asking for somebody's name, you want usually the first name, not just the last name. The last name is like a last ditch effort to get.
But if no one else got the first name right, then you would give us full credit.
And also, he mostly calls her Honey. Honey, I'm home.
He says that in the intro, but he definitely says her name quite a bit, as they do in most sitcoms with named characters.
Jasmine. Jessica, Phyllis, it's like Georgia.
It's like Rose? No, it's not Rose.
Rose, Blanche, Sophia.
She's golden.
Just who cares?
B. Arthur.
Who cares? Let's just say Diane.
We're going to say Diane.
Close. Fran.
Fran.
Okay. See, I knew it was a one syllable.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That
turn.
Was dumb. Thanks for that dumb question. Okay, my turn. My much more interesting.
I knew as soon as I asked it, I was like, this was a mistake. Rest in peace, Jessica Walter.
Yeah, for real. She's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's my much better question. So I hope I worded this in a way that isn't awkward. I just kind of.
Crowd.
All right. April Fool's Day has its origins in France when they switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and it became tradition to mock people who still thought April 1st was what holiday?
Oh, okay. This is interesting. The origins of April Fool's Day. So a holiday used to land on April 1st, and then the people that were celebrating it still after the calendar change... They were deemed fools. For
yes,
still
they were April fools.
Yeah.
Easter?
That was my first thought.
What is your second thought?
Maybe it shifts the other way and it's May Day. It's a more You said it was in France?
In France.
France.
That's where, yeah.
She did say she thought her questions were easy.
Valentine's Day?
But this one's probably on the harder side.
Did you just turn my microphone, my headphones
down?
No,
it's not
the
mics, it's just the headphones.
Lee, for all the listeners, just turned down my headphones with his foot.
Turn me down in the headphones.
No, it's too much.
There's a delay. Turn me down in the headphones.
I was listening to Dare to Be Stupid the other day, where he goes, I can't hear you. Okay, I can hear you now. Yeah. Completely turns it around.
Valentine's Day? I mean, imagine how foolish you would be celebrating Valentine's Day in April.
I'm trying to think if I know the difference between the Gregorian and the Julian calendars, but I don't.
I know the Gregorian calendar was put into place by Pope Gregory.
That's hence good the to name. Know. Gregorian.
Pope Gregor. The mountain.
That's the name, the Pope of calendar.
Gregor Clegane.
Our new Popian Pope. Calendar. It could be Valentine's Day.
It would seem, I don't know. Yeah, celebrating Easter, it would seem like that would piss off God. Like, let them celebrate if they want to on this day. Like, you wouldn't, you'd be afraid to call them fools.
Yeah.
You know, like, so let them celebrate all year long.
Can I hear the question one more time?
Yes. April Fool's Day has its origins in France, when they switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and it became tradition to mock people who still thought April 1st was what holiday?
The American Independence Day.
That's Bastille Day.
Oh, maybe it is. That is a French holiday. Let's do it. I like that.
We're going to say Bastille Day.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is New Year's Day.
Oh, that makes sense. So yes. This is a Jewish thing too, right?
Yeah. So, so the Julian calendar was a Hindu calendar, and in the Hindu religion, they always celebrated New Year's Day on the spring equinox, which is April 1st. That's their new year. That's what marks the new year. So people who still celebrated New Year in April, they're like, you idiot.
Fucking dung dung.
It happened already.
Right.
January. Remember?
Okay. April Fool's Day. I didn't know that April Fool's was, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's a bit prankish, but really just like based on just like, you know, mocking another culture.
Basically. Yeah, pretty much. It evolved from there. So.
All right.
Her theme for all of her questions are cancel culture.
Yeah.
All right. Here is your second question. What marine invertebrate is alternately called an asteroid, taken from its class Asteroidea?
Maybe it's something that resembles an asteroid, which is why it's named after an asteroid. So like maybe like a sea urchin or something. Is there any type of spherical?
One that looks like a rock?
Yeah.
I'm thinking oysters.
Oh. Hmm.
Those things look like asteroids.
I kind of do. Can you read it again? They're
invertebrates. They look like rocks.
Failing it.
Is there a rockfish?
To her lap.
But that's not an invertebrate. Fishes are not.
Yes, the question was, what marine invertebrate is alternately called an asteroid, taken from its class Asteroidea?
Okay, maybe oysters. Maybe they feel good.
And they can kind of scoot around. Like a barnacle is kind of locked in, you know?
Yeah.
Except for that long-ass dick.
Right, that's how they get around.
Their long-ass dick.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. They're mostly dick.
They're kind of like a chef at Denny's. It's like
mostly dick.
It can only get around by its dick. Try and get rides from people.
Oh God.
Like a Denny's cook. Oh God. Like the cook at a Red Robin.
Hashtag an ad. Yes. Let's go with oyster.
Let's go.
Slinging that good dick game is the only way you're gonna get around. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is the starfish or a sea star.
Okay, that makes sense.
A star. I get it. It's got like a star look. They think asteroids look like stars.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it got the class Asteroidea. I don't know if that was just like chance.
I wonder if people just thought that like asteroids were stars at that time or something. And then they were like, oh, you know, so this is shaped like a star. So there's a space connection.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Oysters, though, they got kind of that shape that they just look like they're like flying through. They're kind of elongated.
But they do kind of look like rock-like.
Yeah, this is like a Magic City thing. I think they should change the names, basically. I don't think starfish. Should be something else for starfish.
After all these years, you still feel that way, huh?
All right. I have a marine animals question for you.
Wow.
Sharks are classified as elasmobranchs, meaning they are made mostly of what?
Cartilage.
I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. I learned this in elementary school. It's cartilage.
Okay. We're going to say cartilage.
That's right. I brought the worst questions.
What a soft clap.
I know. It deserves it. That's right. Yeah. Their bones are not bones. They're made of cartilage. They have cartilage skeletons. Do they have skeletons? Or are they just like a ball of cartilage?
No, I think they got to have some skeletons, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
But they're definitely mostly cartilage.
Yeah.
They say shark cartilage is supposed to like be a fix-all for a bunch of different things. I guess it's not a
fix-all. Shredder says that from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, no, he's talking about turtle shells. Never mind.
Well, that too. Darling.
Yes.
Last darling question. Kyle.
Yes. Okay. So your question is, in a 1992 April Fool's joke, NPR ran a spot starring an actor impersonating which former president, saying he was running for president again?
What year? 1992?
Richard Nixon?
Hello, this is Richard Nixon on NPR.
Well, he's definitely easily, you know, there's a lot of people who impersonate him.
I never got a second chance.
Hello, this is Richard Nixon.
I'm coming to sock it to you.
I know. I know I resigned before, but I'm back again.
I can see it.
You got to think of someone who is like easy to imitate. Like George W. Bush would be a great, or George H.W. Bush would both be great people to, you know, have up there. But I don't feel like many people are doing Jimmy Carter impersonations or Gerald Ford impersonations.
Reagan is impersonable.
This was what year?
1992.
It could be Reagan. Hello. Mm-hmm. You're going to get to hear all my president.
Hi there.
Hello. This is Ronald Reagan.
I'm back again.
Coming to not care about people with AIDS again.
I don't believe it exists.
Whatever.
It's not real.
Oh, cancer is fake, too.
I'm the original virus denier.
Yeah. Or it's real and I don't care about gay people. It's something really shitty of me.
I'm cool with either of those or wild idea Lincoln, somebody from a long ago.
So, I mean, I was thinking that, but again, I don't know if a lot of people are doing Abraham Lincoln, I guess, maybe. You don't hear fucking George Washington impersonators. Right. You know what I mean? Abraham Lincoln, I guess you could from his 47 years ago, but I feel like even that's kind of a stretch.
Is NPR going to do an impression of something that's obviously a joke? Or are they going to try and like really put it over like this could happen? And it's in 92, Reagan and Nixon were both still alive. So it could be one of them.
I think it's, you know, it's not real, but they make it sound like it's supposed to be real. And I think they're doing somebody who, I mean, they wouldn't do JFK, right? Because that would be fucked up. That would be like fucking mortifying.
I'm back.
Hey, you're,
I'm about to razzle dazzle you the- with another election.
I'm the Ra's al Ghul of presidents. I feel pretty good about Nixon. That's my guess.
Let's do it.
We're going to say Richard Nixon.
That's correct.
Hey!
All right.
Yeah.
And it's especially funny because NPR is known for being very liberal. It's almost like they're putting it in the Republican's face. Like, oh, yeah, I guess he's not running for president again because fucking fucked up things he did.
Right. And they knew that their listeners would be like, oh, no.
Stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, can we take a break?
Let's do it. Let's take a little break.
Let's take a little break and let's come back and we'll do miscorrections.
Yes.
And then we'll do some more trivia questions. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Right, we're back and it's time for some missed corrections.
Kyle missed it.
missed the music.
I did.
And you're the singer. You're supposed to be helping us out.
She's resting that voice.
Can we do it again with her just like scatting over it?
Squeed up, bop,
yep. Oh, God.
Give us that scat, babe.
Oh, no.
Melesmas. I want just vocal acrobatics over that.
Give us one of these.
I thought you were going to do the motherfucker.
Oh, no, she hasn't gotten one wrong yet.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we have a miscorrection here from Kevin Hunt. Kevin Hunt posted on a link on our Discord that explains, I guess this is more of a no-note, the story behind the Toadies song Possum Kingdom. So there's been some different theories. We dropped that in our sus for your collective soul question.
Yes.
And I said, like, oh, yeah, that song sucks. And there was some discussion on Discord about whether or not that song sucks. What's it about? Is it about vampires? Is it about a serial killer? Apparently it was all made up by singer Vaden Todd Lewis. It's just a story made up for the song.
That's a weird
name. Yes. And he also pointed out that the volcano Kilauea has been actively erupting since 1983. So the answer to Max's question should technically be Hawaii for that. Because it's, I mean, if you're considering constantly erupting as something that last erupted, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like it's erupting now.
When I was 14, right now, something was constantly erupting.
Hey, now. You know what I mean? That's what happens afterwards. Yeah. A lot of dust comes out.
After the first run through.
If you'd like to write us with a miscorrection, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
And you also said that I asked the Dr. No question.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Mr. Big question.
15 episodes ago.
And you still didn't remember.
Yes, that's right. Good. It was Never Say Never Again, right?
No, Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. Oh, yeah. Give me some reggae. I got to give me some reggae in my mind palace for that one. Live and Let Die. And nobody wrote in letting us know that we just asked that question either. So that makes us feel really good that you guys are paying attention.
Yeah, not as bad as the two questions, the same question I asked back to back about Sierra Nevada.
It's close. But are you paying attention, everybody?
No.
Are you? Guys, I have a hockey question for you.
Oh, great.
Taken from times before the introduction of the Zamboni, what is the trash talk term for a loser in hockey? Taken from the times before the introduction of the Zamboni, what is the trash talk term for a loser in hockey?
Like an ice scraper? I don't know.
Yeah, that would explain. When he mentioned the Zamboni, I was like, is it because it's something that sounds like Zamboni? I don't know why the hell I thought that. Ice scraper is probably a good bet.
Yeah, I can't think of like
what's going on, ice scraper. Like you're so shitty, you're just here to like
scrape the ice. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem cool enough. Ice scraper,
dream maker, love taker. Don't you mess around with me. You're a Zamboni, Hamboni.
Times before the Zamboni.
Ice sweeper? I don't think.
You might be a king or a little ice sweeper, but sooner or later you'll dance with the Reaper.
I don't know that one.
It's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Mm.
It's after the Excellent Adventure. It's after they win the talent show. They beat Primus, who is featured playing Tommy the Cat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Primus was in there.
And when the bassist, Death, goes up for his little solo, he says, "You might be a king or a little street sweeper, but sooner or later you'll dance with a reaper."
Oh, right.
And I'm in a ska group where someone said, "What's your favorite ska lyric?" And someone posted that. And then as the lyric, and then said something, and then like there's like a line added to the end, like, "And when we dance the ska," which made me think like this is gonna be the worst song of all time, and I haven't even heard it. And I was like, actually, that lyric is from fucking Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So your favorite ska lyric is from a fucking Alex Winter, Keanu Reeves.
Perfect.
vehicle.
Hey, man, he did make that awesome Zappa documentary, to be fair.
Right? That's true. That was surprising.
I know. Alex Winter. He's done some other stuff, too, I think. Alex Winter has.
He
and
has,
of course,
yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
He had, like, a weird sketch comedy show, too, that was, like, really bizarre.
Ice Scraper, I think, is probably the best we're going to get.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
We're going to say Ice Scraper.
Motherfucker!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, the answer is Hoser.
Hoser.
Oh, you hosers. They hose down ice.
Yes.
Make it smooth out.
And make ice on
top. That's all right.
Fill in the gaps with extra water. Yep. A hoser.
You hoser. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It's so Canadian.
Yep.
All right. Here's your first question from me. What landmark is sometimes referred to as, quote, the Shrine of Democracy? What landmark is sometimes referred to as the Shrine of Democracy?
We have the Lincoln Memorial, I'm just going America on this. The Jefferson Memorial. Maybe it is a Greek.
The Memorial
structure.
No,
though.
He didn't say American. He didn't necessarily say American.
It could be the Pantheon? The Parthenon.
Parthenon.
The Parthenon, not the Pantheon.
The Shrine of Democracy. A shrine is a place where you like
worship.
Worship, and it's like a, yeah.
I could see the Jefferson Memorial because he is more associated with our country being a democracy.
Yeah, you know, but
Lincoln was an emancipator. He's known as an emancipator, but I see him more that would be like, you know, a shrine of emancipation, I think, than democracy itself.
But
since Jefferson wrote
wouldn't emancipation I mean, true democracy couldn't happen without emancipation.
Right? I totally agree with you, but I just don't think it would be phrased that way for that. I feel like that's more in line. They would, you know, the perception is that that's more in line with democracy than being like a shrine to democracy in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a subset, like, you know, redo. We need another another shrine that includes, you know, this other history. But it could be something from ancient Greece.
Could be.
What was the Parthenon? The Parthenon was, I don't know if that was a democratic thing.
I don't know either.
That was, I think, a religious, like a gods thing.
Yeah, right? I'm really thinking like maybe it is something American.
That's just what us Americans would say.
Yeah. It's on brand for us Americans. Mm-hmm.
If we're going with America, I'm thinking, is it the Capitol building? Because that's where the voting happens.
Mm.
Is it like a interesting way of, you know, describing that process?
Maybe.
I'm starting to feel that more.
Okay.
I just, Jefferson Memorial came to mind because there's just a giant statue of Jefferson right in the center of a circular building. So it's like everything is like pointing to him.
Yeah, for sure.
In that. And he's so associated with, you know, writing the Declaration.
Can you read the question again?
Sure. What landmark is sometimes referred to as the Shrine of Democracy?
Where is the Declaration of Independence?
I believe it's in the Library
Nicholas
of Congress.
Nicholas Cage has it.
I was waiting for that. Maybe it's the Library of Congress.
Hmm. That's interesting.
He said landmark.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, it's functional, though. Like, it serves a function. It's not just like a monument.
You want to go with Jefferson Memorial?
No, I mean, I'm not opposed to doing the Library of Congress. I just don't know that I would consider that solely a landmark, but
I'd call it a landmark.
I don't even know if you can see it anymore. If it's on display, I think they might have removed it from display.
Just in case Nicolas Cage comes.
Seriously, though, I think since that movie came out, it's like there's actually like a vulnerability because people want to mess with the Declaration. Let's go with it. We'll do the Library of Congress.
Okay. Library of Congress.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. I know. I had to hear that laugh. It was originally called Six Grandfathers by the Lakota Sioux.
Okay.
It is now known as Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Oh.
Mount Rushmore.
That's interesting. That thought entered my head, especially when you said landmark, but I didn't introduce it to the sus. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
What would you have thought about that? Would you have? I probably would have veered away from that, honestly. That's why I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Kind of gave up on it instantly.
Yeah, I...
That makes sense.
It does make sense, because
they're,
it's...
They're really trying to sell that thing.
Yeah.
It's the Shrine of Democracy over here in South Dakota.
The presidents are chosen for to represent the nation's birth, growth, development, and preservation, respectively.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Kyle.
Yes.
Your next question.
Okay. Mm. In a 1996 April Fool's Day joke, Taco Bell announced that they would be purchasing what historical item and renaming it after the fast food chain?
The Declaration of Independence.
Is it?
I don't know. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Historical item.
Historical item.
The Magna Carta. Washington's wooden teeth. Now a Taco Bell product.
Yeah, I mean, the Declaration of Independence.
These are the Baja Bones.
Noah's Ark. Damn, Maine.
The,
Let's say Declaration of Independence. I feel pretty good about that.
Now you got me going to, like, ancient history, though. You know? Like... The Epic of Gilgamesh, inscribed on stone tablets.
Definitely nothing like that.
No? No. You don't think so? No. Hobby Lobby's buying stuff like that.
Can I hear one more time? You don't think
Taco Bell would buy that as a joke?
Yes.
I don't think so.
In a 1996 April Fool's Day joke, Taco Bell announced that they would be purchasing what historical item and renaming it after the fast food chain?
What would Taco Bell buy as a joke? The Liberty Bell.
Oh, that's great. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
We're going to say the Liberty Bell.
That's correct.
Yeah. The Taco Bell. The Taco Liberty Bell. The
Taco Liberty Bell. Yeah.
They just fill that crack with nacho cheese.
How perfect. Hardened, great come together there, yeah. Seth, early.
Seth. Thank you. All right. My next question for you guys. Do you want another sports question or do you want a science question?
Science.
Cool with that?
I'm listening to the lady.
Okay. Carcinology is the study of
I
what?
Hate you.
Carcinology.
Mm-hmm. Carcinology.
The study of carcinogens, things that cause cancer.
Carcinology. Jesus Christ, you're like Kramer over there.
Giddy up.
You think that?
That's the only thing that comes to mind. Like, carcinogen is a thing that causes cancer. Carcinology, study of things that cause cancer. Like you study what makes them cause cancer, maybe? I don't know. But
what do they call the doctor stuff of when you're a cancer doctor?
Oncologist.
Oncology. I feel like it would be like.
But that's the study of cancer, not what causes it. So they would be different.
Carcinogen, isn't that related to fire or something?
No, I could be wrong, actually. I was under the impression that a carcinogen is something that can cause cancer. Like, you know, aluminum salts and deodorant is a known carcinogen, or the shit in fucking Giddy Up or whatever is a known Giddy carcinogen. Up? Yeah. Or Roundup, not Giddy Up.
I thought you were making a joke.
No,
the weed remover, giddy up.
I am with child. Okay.
Well, we're gonna. I guess we'll say that fear of getting cancer.
No, it's like the study of cancer causing agents. I guess is what I was saying.
So are we saying it's the fear of cancer causing agents?
No, you said a carcinogenist.
The study of what?
Is the study of what?
Carcinology.
Is the study of what?
Is the study of
carcinophobia.
Things that of cancer causing agents.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're gonna say that.
No, you guys are kind of going up the right path, but it's actually the study of crustaceans.
Okay.
See the astrology cancer naming connection there?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so we were on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Just got to take it a step further. Go one era back.
Yeah.
One era back.
Era. Is it your turn?
It's your turn. I just asked that.
Oh, hi. Let me ask you this question. The Seveso disaster, an industrial accident that occurred on July 10th, 1976, in a small chemical manufacturing plant, happened in what country?
Seveso?
This is considered one of the 10 worst man-made accidents.
What was the name of it? The Seveso?
S-E-V-E-S-O, Seveso.
I was just reading about this, too. Somebody,
spelling one more time. Sorry.
S-E-V-E-S-O.
Okay. Yeah, somebody, like, there was a category that was, like, engineering disasters, and mm-hmm. I was reading about a bunch of really sad, like, fucking power plant failures and stuff. And this sounds vaguely familiar. I just don't remember.
Sounds, like, part of Latin America, maybe. Mexico?
Seveso, yeah. Maybe Mexico. Does Mexico have power plants? I mean, I guess
it's a pretty big country.
Yeah.
It sounds more Mexican to me than Portuguese, like Brazil or, you know, that area.
Yeah.
That would be my second guess, though, probably. I'm thinking either Mexico or Brazil.
Yeah, I would, you know, when he first said Seveso, I was thinking Mexico as well.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Mexico.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Italy is the correct answer. Italy.
Okay.
Seveso, Italy. It was an accident inside a chemical manufacturing plant, as I mentioned, that released dioxin into the air. That's one of the active ingredients in Agent Orange. It released into the air. They realized that it happened. They turned it off, and they were just like, "There's no thing, anything."
No,
it's colorless,
God,
and odorless. And then kids started getting burns on, like, rashes on their skin. Animals started getting sick after a couple days. People started dying. Kids started dying. And so they came out and said what happened. It was ranked 8th in a list of the worst man-made environmental disasters by Time magazine in 2010. I'm surprised I had never heard of it.
Me too.
Of course, the number one, of course, is Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. And then there are a bunch of other ones. But I had never heard of it, and I was pretty fascinated by it. It's worth a YouTube dive.
Right on.
Yikes.
Okay, Kyle, your last question of the round, please.
Okay. In a 2003 April Fool's Day joke.
I'm noticing a little bit
this
of
this is an unofficial April Fool's Day episode, I'd say.
Well, April Fool's Day is on Thursday.
It's so a fun day.
I figured, why not?
I love when companies do, like, little takeovers and stuff on April Fool's Day.
They're funny. Know? So in 2003 April Fool's Day joke, a couple of Miami-based radio DJs impersonated Hugo Chavez and successfully prank-called which corrupt politician? They actually got through to this politician, and they actually were able to talk to them, impersonating Hugo Chavez.
In 2003.
Fidel Castro.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I think he was still kicking in 2003.
And in Miami, they would actually be able to speak Spanish. I was thinking of an American politician.
Oh, what was that? Blagojevich?
Rod Blagojevich.
Who sold Obama's Senate seat after he was elected.
Henry Kissinger.
I mean, how many corrupt politicians can we name here?
Oh, yeah. In America? Loads. But that's the thing. I mean, like, you start getting into, like,
that's why I think Castro corrupt would be an amazing story.
What if it was fucking, what if it was Richard Nixon again?
He was dead by
Richard Nixon's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm back, baby.
I mean, if we're thinking of like out in the world, Idi Amin was already dead, but trying to think of like
Gaddafi in 2003 was still around.
Saddam Hussein. That would be insane.
Was he? I guess 2003. Yeah, that was the beginning of the Iraq war.
He may have died.
I think he I think it was a couple of years later, though. That would, I think, Castro to me from Miami, that makes sense. Hugo Chavez, I can.
Yeah, let's say it.
Yep.
We're going to say Castro.
That is correct.
Yes, Lee.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, these DJs. So, fun story. They actually also successfully prank called Hugo Chavez.
Oh.
Before they made this call to Fidel Castro, which
it,
I
it
cannot,
inspired them.
I cannot believe they were able to get through to either of these politicians. It's incredible. So they were able to get through to Hugo Chavez, and then they recorded the whole phone call, and then they were able to make a soundboard. So that is how they were able to prank call and get directly
that's genius.
Directly to Fidel Castro. And so they got through to him.
Living in 2021.
Right? And then they start talking about, like, we lost our luggage while we were in Cuba. And this is a number one issue. And he's like, oh, okay. Then they, like, after a very brief conversation, they start, like, going off on him for being a piece of shit, basically.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So you agree with the shit that you have done to the island, assassin. Like, they called him an assassin.
Jeez-um.
And then he's like, what? And then they're like, oh, we're Enrique Santos and Joe Ferrero from Miami, Florida, for this radio station. You just fell for it. And then Castro said, what did I fall for, shit eater? They're like, we're from Miami. And then he said, what did I fall for? And he called him an F word. And then,
Wait, what
do you have to say?
Which F word? Okay, I'm saying, I guess the one, because you'd say fucker.
I mean, what do you have to say? Miami's listening to you right now, Fidel. And then he said, you have no balls. And he said, what do you have to say? And Castro said, I haven't said anything. Go fuck your mother. And that was the end of the call.
Damn.
So they were actually...
Classic comebacks indeed.
So they, and then the radio station was fined $4,000 because they
should have been paid $4,000.
Oh, worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
I'd pay $4,000.
Can we get a GoFundMe going?
Yeah, they were fined because they did not ask consent for the broadcast.
Oh, whatever.
So yeah, it wasn't like.
That's like George Lucas paying the Directors Guild so he didn't have to put stupid credits at the beginning of Star Wars. Like, you want me to put credits before my opening crawl? That's too much words. No, I'll pay you.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
Let's take another quick break.
Yeah.
And then come back with a rate my question or two.
We got one
rate my question and then final questions.
Raid my question.
That was beautiful.
We need to do
we're
that
already
every,
in aren't
yep,
we
we're in.
Say, okay.
We're in. Yep,
it's official.
We've got a rate my question here from team captain Dylan.
Oh, Dylan.
Hey guys, I'm back with another rate my question. It's been a while trying to knock off the rust, still catching up on some backlog, so hopefully this one hasn't been asked. Probably a layup for Mark, but I thought an interesting tidbit nonetheless. Question: considered the most sampled piece of music in history, used by musicians such as Slipknot, NWA, David Bowie, as well as Skrillex. What is the name of this iconic drum break? And then there's an audio sample here I'll play. Audio clue from Dylan. That's it.
Mm.
Kind of aggressive. That was not the one I was thinking of.
Oh.
You want to hear it one more time?
Sure.
I That's it. 6 second loop. I do not know the name of that, even though I just clicked on the link and did not see the name of it. Good. I don't know.
Kyle? I see you over there feverishly
is
typing
it
away.
Is called something like breakbeat?
I was going to say it's what I would refer to as a breakbeat.
It sounds like a breakbeat. So is he looking? So he's just looking for the type of beat?
It's the name of the beat. What is the name of this iconic drum beat?
Okay.
So I mean,
considered the most sampled piece of music in history.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's
maybe it's the name of the drummer, like the something breakbeat.
It's not.
Well, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
When Seth was here, I think. Remember he had talked about.
He's been here so many times.
Well, yeah, it's the most recent time he asked about the James Brown drummer, and his name is slipping my fucking mind right now.
Not Tony Harris.
But everyone always referred to it as Funky Drummer. Because I think that's the song that the drum beat's taken from.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly. This is definitely one of those things where I'd go up to the quizmaster and be like, are you looking for the kind of beat? Mm-hmm. Or are you, you know, one that a lot of other people may just be like, well, there's no way I'll know. But me as a drummer would be like, super like...
Yep.
All right, now I'm like kind of stressing.
Like when I ask about cosmetology and Elise is like, hold up, answer has, or that question has five answers, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say either breakbeat or funky drummer.
I like the funky drummer beat. That sounds like it would be a name. Unless breakbeat just sounds so simple. And is that, I feel like, wouldn't that predate that sample? Like, he's asking for the name of the sample, not the name
that's,
of the type
okay,
of
yeah,
beat.
That's what I was confused about. Because I'm like, is he looking for the name of the beat? Or is there like, but I didn't realize there was like even, you can call a sample something. You know what I mean? I guess there is like the Wilhelm scream. And I guess it's like a similar type of situation.
Or as we were talking about before at breakfast, the Aaliyah. Baby
very
coo.
Good. Yeah. Kind of has the same ring to it.
Gonna have to make a soundboard out of me doing that coo noise.
So I don't even
funky drummer beat. I would name, if you're gonna name it after something, it would be either named after, I think, the drummer.
I feel like
or the
answer
song.
Is gonna end up being breakbeat.
All right. Well, let's see.
Yeah.
Do we want to go with breakbeat then?
I think that's our best guess.
Yeah, let's go with breakbeat.
Okay.
You've been outvoted.
All right, breakbeat. Let's see.
It's going to be fucking funky drummer after I said that.
Oh, nope. It's neither. We were wrong. It's called the Amen Break.
Okay.
The Amen Break is
I've
a drum
never
break
heard of that.
I've never heard of that either.
Widely sampled in popular music, it comes from the 1969 track Amen Brother by the soul group The Winstons. Releases the B-side of the 1969 single Color Him Father.
Oh,
okay.
The drum break lasts about 7 seconds and was performed by Gregory Coleman. Sampling. It was used in Straight Outta Compton. What else do we got here? Keep It Going Now by Rob Bass. Some more hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Where a lot of sampling happens. Let's be fair.
Used by Oasis.
Okay.
And in the television theme of Futurama.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's pretty niche. I wish the question gave a little bit more hints in it, but since it is so niche.
Yeah, like
now you cannot use a letter grade and you cannot use the PIBS system. You have to come up with some other system to rate it. What system would you like to use and what rating would you give?
Out of how many?
You have to come up with a system.
I'm not doing that. So we're going to do out of 5 stars?
Sure. Yes.
Yep.
I would give it I don't know, between like maybe a 3.5 or 4 out of 5 because it is
3.75.
Yeah, sure.
And haha, I fooled you. You used a different system. Haha, you've been fooled.
Wow, you fooled me. So yeah, it's a little hard, which is fine. But it might be because I just like I'm a musician and you're a musician and like neither of us knew that, you know. I feel like it needed more hints or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those.
So you're docking it based on what you didn't know.
But I mean, her as a musician who went to fucking music college, you'd imagine the average, like, sit at the bar to grab a drink after work is definitely not going to know fucking Amen Break. I'm a drummer and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, at some point you have to dock for, like, impossibility. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Which I think speaks to the point that this question could use an extra built-in hint. Absolutely. Like, named after what 1969 soul song?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I would give this piss. Lowercase s, probably, because it does have a lot of information. So like, these are the artists that sampled it, but none of that really helps you get to the name
right.
of the song. Yeah. So to get to the answer, I think it could use one extra little bit, just some extra identifying information.
How about maybe. what drum break that shares its name with a 1980s television sitcom starring what's his name? Sherman Hemsley.
Is that true? Was there something
Amen,
called Amen?
There
Brother?
Was a show called Amen starring Sherman Hemsley, I believe, in the 1980s.
Okay.
And it had a killer fucking like gospel theme song.
Okay.
It was very sick.
Yeah, that would be another hint you could throw in, something that you know, maybe just helps the, you know, I would say the uninitiated. But again, yeah, we have two musicians here that didn't know. I don't mind it being a niche question. It is difficult. So I would probably, this would be a great, like, last question yes. for me, where you could wager 21 points on it. Because if you know this, man, you deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I would give this a piss.
There's the
okay.
I would, like I said, I wouldn't call it a bad question. Amen. It's just a little hard and needs that.
Yeah, I'd give it like an A minus.
I think it's really
the
interesting.
The first episode was 1986, final episode Amen 1991, also starring Clifton Davis. Like, it was like an all-black cast, I think. It was very good.
Okay.
Who goes first?
Well, let's just say, if you want to write us in with the Rate My Question, we will need some new Rate My Questions. You can email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. You can do that, but please don't. Please instead call us. We haven't had a call in so long. 1-929-356-6966. Don't you want to hit that 6-9 and go nice to
yeah,
yourself?
Don't you?
When you're
or
calling
don't
in?
You want to go 6-9-6-6?
You go, yeah.
It's the mark of the beast.
Oh, yeah. The Miltark of the Slayer. Beast.
Slayer. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was called by Aaliyah. I was called Miltark of the Beast in the Wild today.
Yep.
He's felt pretty known. Good, not going to lie.
The main Miltark.
Yes. Kyle, ladies first,
okay.
huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure. This isn't April Fool's.
Related. Oh, what the hell? I feel like that's the ultimate April Fool's joke.
I was all warmed
joke.
Up.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a little bit pranked. Of a... It's. I mean, I guess it could be considered a... It's not really a prank. It's an unintentional prank.
Okay.
So I guess it's cohesive. It's cohesive. And it's... Yeah. Anyway, so... despite only being on the market for 6 months, the Magic Earring Ken doll was Mattel's best-selling Ken doll in history, but was discontinued for having what controversial accessory?
One more time.
Okay. Despite only being on the market for 6 months, the Magic Earring Ken doll was Mattel's best-selling Ken doll in history, but was discontinued for having what controversial accessory?
King Missile wrote a song about this.
Detachable penis.
You think it's a penis?
No, I'm okay. just joking around. Of course they wouldn't do that. But Ken, known for his unique body form.
All right, so I just want to say that going forward for this next sus, mm-hmm. I'm not speaking of my own predetermined... gay things, but I think that the magical earring Ken thing is going to be playing on some kind of shitty gay trope.
You mean like a homophobic thing?
Like a homophobic thing.
Okay, yeah.
It could be the earring altogether.
Yeah, I mean...
Or it could be some other... What they would say, like a purse,
mm-hmm.
some effeminate thing that they threw on there because they were trying to like appease the quote gay crowd, end quote.
This was the 90s though, and I feel like there was like homophobia around the earring in the schoolyard, but it was also at the same time generally a cool thing for a dude to have an earring in the 90s, right?
No.
No?
No.
Isn't that why guys were getting earrings in the first place?
It's magical earring, not earrings. So there was a time where people started getting both of their ears pierced. But I remember getting my ear pierced when I was a kid. My mom wanted me to get my ear pierced. And when I asked the ear piercer about getting it pierced, he was like, which one? And I said, I don't know. And he said, left is right and right is wrong. Getting your right, that was to say that getting your right ear pierced was a gay thing. Mm-hmm. Right is wrong, left is correct.
Yeah.
You know, that was in the late 80s, early 90s. I think the answer is the earring.
Okay. You think it's just out there?
She
in the
did say it was
like
going to be like a trick. Oh. It was kind of like a prank. And it's in the name. I think that was the problem. I think the magical earring, they were like, this is like too gay. And they said to pull it.
All right. I guess, yeah, let's go with it. Because what else are you going to have that would be controversial with that?
The only other thing it could be is something that is effeminate that they would like automatically say like, well, saying here with the magical one earring is that this is a gay doll, right. And it would have some female-esque, some feminine thing like a purse or.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that, though.
I don't think they would do that either.
Yeah, let's go with the earring, I guess. I mean,
we're going to say the
pack earring. Of cigarettes or an earring.
That is incorrect.
Oh, okay.
However, that was a great
we
sus.
We met a sus.
And you were on the right track.
Huh.
Okay. So,
explain.
All right, here's the story. So, they did like a poll among girls that they're like, okay, so what would you like to see in like your Ken doll? Because Ken doll wasn't selling very well. And they're like, he's not very cool looking. We want him to look cooler. So, the developers started going out to clubs to see like what cool guys were wearing. But guess who were going to clubs in the early 90s?
Gay dudes.
Gay dudes.
Yes.
So they fashioned this Ken doll literally after just what a 90s gay guy dressed like. So he was wearing like this mesh tank top and like shorts.
Was it the mesh shirt that got him in trouble?
Just wait.
Oh, okay.
So, and the magic earring, which was on the right side,
which they could take off with a cold towel when they had to go to work and which, not let people know that they were gay.
And it was the magic earring, Ken, because you could switch out the earrings. But what was controversial about it is another very common fashion trend they saw amongst these gay men in these clubs was they would wear a cock ring around their neck as a necklace. So
oh my god,
that's useless to Ken.
So they and they didn't realize it was a cock ring. They just thought it was like this hip accessory that guys were wearing.
Well, it's so kind of funny like when girls, like underage girls, wear chokers.
Yeah.
That have like rings on them. It's like, yes, oh, exactly. You don't know what that is, or you do, I guess.
So
maybe.
The magic earring Ken came with that same necklace. Obviously, it wasn't like literally a cock ring on the Ken doll,
right.
But it was like the
circle.
It was
circle. Representative of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it was a symbolic cock ring.
Gay men saw this Barbie and were like, what the fuck? This is amazing. And,
collector's item. Instant yes, collector's item.
And they
item.
Just bought the fuck out of this Ken doll. And that is why to this day, the magic earring Ken doll is the best selling Ken doll in history, only on the market for 6 months because all of these gay men were buying the fuck out of this Ken doll.
Wow. That's like Boba Fett with jetpack legendary level for toys.
Yeah.
You've got Boba Fett with jetpack and cock ring, or I'm sorry, magic earring Ken doll.
So here's the thing though, that the company was like their statement. They're like, oh, it has a cock ring. We need to remove it. But in reality, yes.
There's a picture.
Yep. Isn't that great? In reality, I think it was because they didn't want to sell a gay Ken.
Yeah. It's just hanging out. It's a loose ring.
Which was described as a chrome cock ring. Kitsch-minded gay men bought the doll in record numbers, making earring magic Ken the best-selling Ken model in Mattel's history. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Great question.
Holy shit. That was fantastic.
Yep. That's a good one. All right, Mark. If you wouldn't mind, your final question for this episode.
My final question ever. What dogs were referred to as Liberty Hounds during World War I?
German Shepherds?
Maybe.
They were used a lot during World War I.
Yep.
And, like, they were known for being, like, really loyal and... I don't know, though. You know more about dogs than I do.
That's where my mind went, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Trying to think of, like, you know, dogs from that area that would be used in war. I mean, there's, like, you know, the Doberman Pinscher, but I don't know, the German Shepherd, I think, is just a more popular breed.
Yeah.
Basically. There's also the St. Bernard, you know, which has a history of,
You
know,
St. Andrew Bernard
rescuing, even though the keg with the booze around the neck is a fiction. It's been depicted in several greeting cards and stuff like that, but not true. But they were used for, I think, medic purposes.
You're right. They were. But yeah,
I feel good about the German Shepherd.
Yeah, because I think those both are good options. St. Bernard or German Shepherd. Up to you.
Let's go with German Shepherd.
Okay.
They're more popular.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Motherfucker! Yep.
Can I get a real live motherfucker right here?
I was so drunk during that episode. I'm embarrassed about how much
motherfucker! I'll do it.
About how much of an idiot I was acting.
The correct answer is the dachshund.
Oh, okay. Really?
The dachshund, yes.
The dachshound.
Yes.
Or the dash
hound.
The
badger hound.
I think I called it a dachshund on stream a couple weeks ago, and chat just blew up like, what are you saying, dachshund? It's the dash hound.
Yes.
And I was like, maybe if I was hoity-toity hosting like a dog show or commentating a dog show. The dash hound. Yes. here comes the formerly known as the Liberty Dog. The dash hound. Okay. My last question, I have to admit, I'm doing a little bit of promo here. I've been invited to come on to the podcast of last week's guests, Max and Dan, doubled feature. Mm-hmm. I'll be on this week to talk about two movies that came out near each other that have a similar kind of theme, which is the basis of their podcast, doubled feature. We're going to be talking about Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. And I have a Street Fighter the movie question for you guys.
Oh, boy.
In the opening of Street Fighter, what Disney character's scream is heard when Bison throws an Allied Nations Forces member off of a platform? In the opening of Street Fighter, what Disney character's scream is heard as a sound effect when Bison throws an Allied Nations Forces member off of a platform?
Okay, so this was the early 90s, right?
Yep, so 93, I believe.
Okay, so Disney movies that came out like before then, obviously. We watched this last night. Well, Lee watched this last night. I slept. And
you did catch this opening scene and you skipped out for about 45 minutes. I feel like you caught the end though too, but this is in the beginning of the movie. I think you were awake.
I don't remember. I was asleep.
Disney character.
Is there any Disney characters that scream?
Especially before 1993. What Disney characters are there? Pinocchio. There's
and there's a dude. It's probably a dude being thrown out off of a platform.
Right.
So it's probably a man. Which Disney man is screaming?
Aladdin.
Was Aladdin before 93?
I don't know.
I thought that was 94.
Maybe.
Mm.
Lion King.
I was thinking maybe Lion King, but I don't remember Mufasa screaming before he dies.
Does he not scream when he falls off that cliff?
He gets thrown
off a cliff.
He does get thrown off a cliff.
But he gets let go of from a cliff.
Yeah. Rude.
Mm-hmm.
His own brother.
Mm-hmm. What an asshole.
Scar. They sit at the bar and put bread in my scar and say, man, what are you doing here?
From the hit song Liano Man. Liano Man. It's a Thundercats parody.
Thundercats.
Have you seen that, like, that theory that Piano Man is actually takes place in a gay bar?
Yes. Because all the people they talk about are men.
Are men, and they're all like, so and so is too busy for a wife.
Sure.
Because he's gay.
Talking to Davey, who lives in the neighborhood. Who's something about the Navy.
Mm-hmm. Guy's got a magic earring.
Oh, who's still in the Navy.
And a cock ring necklace.
And probably will be for life, yeah. And a pack of smokes.
La, da, 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 da.
Yeah, I don't know. When did Lion King come out?
I thought that was 95.
Well, shit. That makes it impossible right there. Doesn't it?
I I feel like I remember seeing like trailers for it, watching other Disney movies, and they're like, coming summer 1995.
I saw a chick with 12 tits. That sounds crazy. Dozen tit. Kyle's kicking me out of the house right now.
Yes. I'm just trying to think of like any Disney movie that came out before 93 that had like a screaming dude in it.
What's the one with the two cats?
The Aristocats?
Is that 101 Dalmatians?
Oh, that might be good. Maybe it's, what's his face? Roger. I don't think he screams ever in it.
Jeez. Is it, what movie are we talking about that someone gets thrown over?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
Bison's walking down a ramp and he's tossing Allied Nation forces members off the side of this ramp, and one of them has a yell from a Disney character. Sound effect.
Do you think maybe it's a live action Disney movie?
Could be. I can't think.
What live action Disney movies?
Right. I don't know.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That was later in the '90s as well.
Jesus fuck.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame also used the sound effect.
What? Okay.
Is it the Wilhelm scream?
Is that a Disney character?
I don't know.
Maybe it is Lion King. Maybe I'm getting my dates confused. I feel like Little Mermaid was before 93. Oh my god. No, I was watching it when I was a baby. It had to have been. It was like 89 or 90.
You watched when you were a
Beauty
baby.
Beauty and the Beast
and
was also
in the Navy.
Beauty and the, what about Beauty and the Beast? What if it's like the scream of what's his, the Beauty, Belle's father or something when she sees the Beast? Or Gaston when he gets thrown off the, oh, Gaston. It's got to be Gaston.
Ooh, that's good.
When he gets thrown off the building at the end of Beauty and the Beast.
We're going to say Beauty and the Beast.
We're going to say Gaston.
No, I'm sorry. It is this sound.
Goofy.
Does that help? Yep, that's right. It is the Goofy holler, the Goofy yell, replacing, you know, functionally the Wilhelm scream in this. It was recorded for a short film originally, I think, called The Art of Skiing, if I remember correctly. Oh. Hold on. I had some info here.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda had a boost.
Yeah, it was The Art of Skiing in 1941. It was not often used in live action, especially non-Disney movies. Street Fighter being one of the few instances that occurs in. And it also kind of rare for Disney feature-length films as well. The Hunchback of Notre Dame did use it, but it's mostly, let's see here. It was used in Cinderella. It was used in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Of course, a goofy movie as well as an extremely goofy movie. And there is one other live action movie it was famously used in where you'd think they would use the Wilhelm scream, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. They used the goofy yell in the scene. Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. Watch Street Fighter if you'd like. You don't have to watch it, though. We will be going over the entire story of the movie on the episode of Double Feature that we'll be on. And they're going to have Mark on soon, I think, as well.
Yes, that's the plan.
All right. Well, Kyle, thank you for joining us on the No-No.
Yeah, what a good time.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening, everybody. That concludes this episode of the No-Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No-Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you, of course, to our quiz daddies, Kyle, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains, Dylan, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Aaron, and David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, John, Adam, Molly, and Ryan, Nicole, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thank you to our Rumpelstiltskins, Alex, Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike, Carcinologist Study Crustaceans.
And Michael J.
Mike, Jessica Walter, rest in peace. If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or missed correction, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia podcast to join us there and have a little discussion about all the cool things happening in the episodes. Mm-hmm. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
5 stars only, please.
Kyle, please.
Please.
I'm begging you, please.
Please.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.